I think we can all agree that learning is more fun when you do it with friends, right? So if one of your summer goals is to learn more about the science of reading and how to incorporate it into your classroom, then let me invite you to join our free summer book study. During the month of June, we are going to be hosting a free book study for teachers just like you, where we are going to work our way through the book, Shifting the Balance, 6 ways to bring the science of reading into your upper elementary classroom. And we'd love to have you join us. We're going to read one chapter a week. And inside our book study Facebook group, you're going to get to participate in things like our weekly Facebook Live, discussion posts. You're going to get some really awesome freebies and the chance to win some stellar prizes. All of this is going to help you align your instruction with the science of reading next year. It's going to be fun. And even if you don't think you'll have time to read every single chapter, still consider joining. You're going to get a lot out of the group, even if you don't have time to read the entire text. So I hope to see you this summer where we can all learn alongside each other. You can sign up at stellarteacher.com/bookstudy. That's all one word, stellarteacher.com/bookstudy. And I'll see you inside our group. You're listening to episode number 187 of the Stellar Teacher Podcast. Y'all, I am so excited for today's podcast episode because I have my dear friend, Anna Geiger, who is a fellow literacy lover, podcast host, and she is someone who I would refer to as an expert in the science of reading, even though she says she is still on her own learning journey as well. Now, Anna is the host of the Triple R Teaching Podcast, and she is the creator behind The Measured Mom. And if you are not already a part of her online world, you will want to be after listening to today's episode. In our conversation, Anna shares what her literacy instruction was like as a balanced literacy teacher, what really led her to rethink balanced literacy, and she shares a lot about her journey to learning more about structured literacy and the science of reading. And so much of what she shared, I was able to connect to on a personal level, and I know you will as well. So if you enjoy today's conversation, then you're really in luck because Anna is coming out with a brand new book, Reach All Readers, and she wrote this book with you in mind. She really wanted to give teachers a resource that would not only explain the science of reading, but understand how to practically apply it in their classrooms. Her book has been described as not too sciencey and really easy for teachers to understand, especially if this is your first science of reading book. So if you are looking for another guide and encourager to help you along your journey as a literacy educator, let me introduce you to my friend Anna. Teaching literacy is tough, but with the right tools, you can be not only good, but great. Amazing. I'm talking off the charts impactful. Hey, I'm Sarah Marie, a literacy specialist with over a decade of experience working as a classroom teacher and school administrator. Tune in each week to this podcast to hear no fluff lesson ideas and strategies that will help you feel confident in your abilities to truly grow your students as readers. Are you ready? Let's dig in. Hi, Anna. I am so excited to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for coming on as a guest.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I'm so happy to be here.
You are seriously one of those, like you are a science of reading expert and guru in my mind. And I've learned so much from your podcast and just conversations that we have had. So I am excited that my audience now gets a chance to learn from you as well.
Well, thank you.
So I know that you have a new book coming out, which is super exciting. I know that you are very intentional and thorough, and I can't wait to talk about that a little bit later on in our conversation. But before we get to sort of your knowledge and experience with the science of reading, can we back up a little bit and talk about what did your literacy teaching look like when you were a balanced literacy teacher?
Yeah, so I was the biggest fan of balanced literacy, the biggest balanced literacy disciple. Science of reading was not on my radar way back then. I was a teacher in the early 2000s. Lucy Calkins was what I read when I was on my spring break, you know, big into Founders and Pinnell. My favorite book was Sharon Taberski's book. I think it was called From the Ground Up, which was basically how to do a reading workshop model without a lot of explicit instruction. And a big fan of Reggie Routman too. She was big in the whole language days. And, you know, when I went to graduate school, learned about 3Qing, learned about using leveled and predictable books with beginners. And those were the things that I did. I really didn't have a lot of patience for explicit programs. I thought they were boring. And I also didn't like decodable books. Now, at the time, there weren't a lot of great choices. Now, 20 years later, we're swimming in decodable books. But I wasn't interested in them because I didn't really think they were important. And so really my teaching was very much, I would say reading workshop, a little bit more than the guided reading model, but very much using running records to figure out what level my students were at, and then having them work through those predictable books, and then basically just move through the levels. Like if someone would have asked, well, what are you teaching them? I would have just said, well, I'm teaching them to read and I want them to move through the levels. Like I didn't really understand what the levels meant because of course they don't really mean much of anything. And I remember actually one of my students' parents at a parent-teacher conference, she was telling me that she was helping her daughter learn to read before she went to first grade, and she couldn't find books that teach a particular phonics pattern. And I was literally horrified. I was like, why would you do that? Like, why would you limit what the words in the book? Like, that's horrible. Because of course, I thought that kids could get to words in a variety of different ways. So yeah, pretty heavy, heavy duty balanced literacy. And then when I took about 5 years away from education to get my family started, I wasn't really thinking about any of that. I almost thought I should just sell all my teaching books on eBay because I just didn't think I was ever going to get back into it. And then in 2013, I started a website called The Measured Mom, and that was going to be a parenting website because I was trying to be more patient, more measured, and that was supposed to help me do that because I had four little kids at the time. My oldest was five and she had three little brothers, and I really needed an outlet. So that's why I started it. And then it quickly turned into an education website. And then over the years, it's become a resource for pre-K through third grade teachers. But I was very happy swimming in balanced literacy, and that was what I taught to teachers. It was what was in my original online course, was the balanced literacy methods. And then I had a blog post all about 3Qing, like how it works and why we need to use cues or teach kids to use cues as they're reading. And someone commented on there and she said, hey, have you seen this article by Emily Hanford? And it was at a loss for words. And no, I hadn't. A couple people sent me to it. I went to read it and I just blew it off at first, but it did bother me because she very clearly had problems with 3Qing and I'd never heard that before. And so that led me down a rabbit hole, which I wasn't happy to go down at first. But it was great because a lot of people sent me to some really important books and I just started swallowing and reading everything I possibly could, watching everything I could, listening to hours of podcasts. And then that led me to continue my education. And that's where I am now. I've let go of balanced literacy and now I'm a very big believer in structured literacy and learning more about the science of reading.
I love it. And I feel like we have very parallel or similar experiences just as far as, you know, balanced literacy. And hearing you talk about it, I remember, you know, I mean, obviously teaching the guided reading levels. And similarly, it's like, what are you teaching? It's like, okay, well, we're trying to get to a level J or we're trying to get to a level like N, but like, what exactly does that mean? And it was really more so about like teaching individual texts and less about like teaching actual like reading skills. But I remember the very first time I ever heard about the science of reading, it was on a workshop that I was giving. And I don't think it was like a very balanced literacy specific workshop. I think it was more just about like engagement or whatever. But somebody asked, is this aligned to the science of reading? And I was like, I have no idea what the science of reading is. Like, I'd never heard of it. But I had this like moment of panic because I'm like, oh my gosh, is there like a new way to teach reading? And like, have I been doing it wrong? And similarly to you, I was like, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole. Like, I don't want to start learning about this for fear that I will have recognized that I had been doing something wrong. But I think it's one of those things that once you start learning about the science of reading and structured literacy, it's hard to unsee it, right? You can't go back because everything just sort of clicks and makes sense. So I love that you sort of had this moment of like, okay, here's this article. It's really causing me to like rethink balanced literacy. Are there like really impactful learning experiences or, you know, whether it's PD books or courses, or what are some of the aha moments that you have had in your structured literacy science of reading journey?
So I think a lot of it comes down to teaching my youngest to read. So we have six kids and I taught them all to read before they went to school because I thought I should get to do that. I'm their mom. And that's really fun to do. And, you know, I would say all six of my kids are definitely the kinds of kids that can learn to read with balanced literacy. You know, they're in that 40% of kids that are going to learn to read no matter what you do. And so they did all learn to read, even though I wasn't doing a lot of explicit instruction. I did teach them phonics and I did use some decodable books, but that was not our focus. But with my youngest, I thought, all right, I'm going to give this a try. Like I'm going to use decodable books and I'm going to explicitly teach him these things. And I was actually getting Orton Gillingham certified and he was my student. So doing that really helped me practice all this explicit teaching that I just wasn't used to. It was just a really new thing. And I remember the first day that I sat down with him, he was just learning to read CVC words and I had a decodable book and a leveled book. And I thought, I wasn't ready to get rid of the leveled books because I really thought that they built fluency and comprehension. I didn't really understand the continuum. And so I had a misunderstanding there. And he read the decodable book, you know, very slowly. And then I gave him the leveled book. And I didn't know, when he came to words he didn't know, he was trying to sound them out, which he couldn't do. They were way too hard. And I was like, well, well, you have to use the picture. And then I realized, this is so incredibly inefficient. Why am I doing this? But I had never seen that before. But it was a process. Like when he first started reading the decodable book, my husband said to me later, who he had seen me teach all the kids to read, and he wasn't being critical, but he was just saying, it almost made me feel sad to listen to him reading like that because it sounds so slow and painful. And that wasn't what he'd been used to hearing. You know, and it was a little hard for me too at first to get used to that. But he would take those decodable books, you know, Sam, I am Sam, Sam. It was a flyleaf book, I think. And he would just go sit on the couch and read it to himself. So there was no problem from his perspective. It was we as adults had to understand what the brain has to do to learn to read and to accept the process that has to occur for that to happen. So I would say that was a big one. So another one for me was, and I would definitely not call myself a real expert on how all the brain stuff works. I've watched Stanislaus Dehaene's YouTube videos countless times and watched everything I can about it. I still don't think I understand it 100%, but just the basics, you know, understanding that there's no single part of the brain that's set up for reading and that we have to create these circuits. I remember someone saying how, like, you go back across a field one time and there's not much there in terms of footprints, right? Like a field of tall grass. But when you go over and over and over it, you make a path. And the same thing is true with this explicit, systematic, repetitious instruction. We've got to do that to build those neurocircuits in the brain. And understanding that really helped me too, to understand the importance of practice, 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 and that what we're doing has to have a purpose. And that orthographic mapping was another one. When I understood that you map words by connecting the sounds and the letters and the meaning, that made a big difference because I realized that my using the leveled predictable books, my goal was not that they remember the word in the future. That wasn't the point. The point was to understand the story and be able to talk about it. And I thought that was success. But what I didn't understand was I was completely bypassing orthographic mapping because if they could get to the word by the picture or the context, but they couldn't read it tomorrow, what exactly had I accomplished? So those were, I think, were the big things for me.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you were like, I'm going to use my son as almost like a guinea pig to see, like, is this going to work? But I mean, to your point, I remember, so I spent most of my teaching career as an upper elementary teacher, but I was a first grade teacher for a year. And so I've gone through the process of trying to teach kids to learn how to read. But I remember, you know, having the leveled texts and, you know, students getting to words like elephant or dinosaurs. And to your point, like not being able to actually read those words, but it's like, no, look at the picture or, you know, guess which word would make sense. But, you know, and at the time, I remember not thinking that, you know, it's like, oh yeah, this is what we do. Like, this is how we teach reading. But it's like, if you think about it, that is so inefficient and also just does not make sense when our goal is actually to teach kids how to read. Like, why are we having them rely on pictures or, you know, guess words, which, you know, can support their understanding of the meaning. But when it comes to it, they have to be able to actually read the words. I've loved learning about the science aspect as well. I feel like I can never like regurgitate it the way that I would like to, but it is so fascinating to really understand how the brain learns to read and that really explicit and the repetition is so, so necessary. So I just love that. I love hearing how really you have gone from, you know, the biggest fan of being balanced literacy to now being a huge advocate for the science of reading and structured literacy, which kind of leads me to, you are really in the process of finishing up writing your very first book. So, you know, where along your journey did you make this decision like, okay, I need to write a book to share with teachers so they can learn more about structured literacy as well?
Yeah, so it kind of dropped in my lap. There's a publishing company, Josie Bass. They've published The Writing Revolution and some other books. Doug Glamov, I'm not sure if that's who you say his name, but he's pretty well known, Teach Like a Champion. Like many of his books are published through them. And what they do is they kind of just find online writers like me and reach out and say, hey, would you be interested in submitting a book proposal for us to consider? And so they sent that. And at the time I was hoping to get into a pretty competitive program. So I said, well, I would love to write a book, but I have to see if I get into this program. And I was in the end not accepted. So I thought, well, I guess I'm writing a book. So I wrote back, yes. So I said, okay, they really want you to really think through exactly what you're going to do. And the proposal is pretty detailed. Like they kind of want you to lay out the chapters and everything. And writing a book has always been in the back of my mind. I really love writing, but you know, life. And so by this point, all six of our kids were in school full time. So as of this recording, my youngest is in second grade. So by that time, he was in first grade. And it was the first time ever in my life, not ever, in my married life, basically, almost, that I had part of the day to myself. And so I felt like this is something I could do. I have the potential to do this now. And what I really wanted to do was, part of it was clarifying for myself. I know I've heard Lynn Stone, she's written a lot of books, and she said that a lot of her book writing is for her, like to help her clarify everything for herself. And because you really, when you write, Boy, you really have to think things through.
Yeah, I can see that, how it's like the writing process really just like solidifies it for you as the writer.
Yeah, so it required me to really think through all the aspects of teaching reading according to the science of reading and really lay it out. So I wrote the book to really be, I would never say a one-stop shop, because if you see my bookshelf, I don't believe in that. Hundreds of books about the science of reading, and I don't think anybody should just read one book. But if they're looking for a place that really, in a gentle way, because I was a balanced literacy teacher, explains the problems with balanced literacy, not all, but some, and counteracts that with what we've learned from research, and then shows how to apply that to your everyday teaching. That is what the book is. You know, at the beginning, I talk a little bit about my journey out of balanced literacy, and then I really also believe that it's more than just, as people like to say, the big five, right? Phonemic awareness, phonics, fluency, vocabulary, comprehension. It's also how you teach. So I do start out by talking about the science of learning. First, I give a background into the science of reading and how we got here, like the reading wars and all that. But then I talk about the importance of explicit instruction, of scaffolding, of, you know, choral responses, all the things we've learned from research work really well in a classroom setting. And then I walk through the big five in addition to oral language. I start with that, and then I work through each one, and I have a summary about the science of reading in each of those areas. And then I go into a lot of practical stuff. And at the end, I also talk about linking reading and writing. So that's one chapter, because of course you could write a whole book about teaching writing, but I think it's important to understand how we teach students to write about what they read. So then there's also a chapter on dyslexia, which I think is really important for teachers to understand. When I was a teacher, like, that was just a scary word. I didn't even know what that meant. And I assumed, well, there's nothing I could do about that. Like, I'm not qualified. And I want teachers to know that everyone, once you understand the science of reading and how to give explicit instruction, you know what kids with dyslexia need. Like, you really do. You could be trained in an additional program to administer. You could do that. But what kids with dyslexia need is just more and better instruction. And so, you know, more scaffolding, more explicit instruction, more breaking things down. And that's what those programs can help you do. But there's not something magical that they need to learn that the rest of the students don't need to learn. And that was really eye-opening for me. So I wanted to communicate that. The last chapter, though, is about MTSS, because there's really a system that you need. You know, in addition to having all this knowledge, we need a system for what to do for kids who need extra help. Because we know that even when you've got a great teacher, even when you've got a great program, some kids will need additional instruction, right? A good percent, you know, possibly 20% of kids are going to need more. So how do you have a system in your school? How do you set that up so that the kids that need extra support get it? So that's the book. And I've gotten a few endorsements so far, and they've been very kind. I think the last person said it's not sciencey, very practical. And so that's what I hope that it does for teachers.
I love that. And I mean, what I feel like a great gift you're going to be giving to teachers just in the field, because, you know, like you said, there are hundreds of books out there, and I love recommending multiple books. But I think one of the things that is so great is, one, if you start with a book that, you know, to the description that you just gave, it's not very sciencey, but can really break down and explain what the science of reading is, some practical ways to put that into place into a classroom. I think that can help teachers then, you know, build their knowledge for when they continue their own learning, and the next book they read will be so much easier for them to digest because they have the foundation that you're providing them in your book.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was there a specific chapter that you either really enjoyed writing or I guess a specific chapter that was really challenging for you to write?
Yeah, that's interesting. So I would say a chapter I really loved writing. I mean, I enjoyed writing it all. I do like writing, but the phonics chapter is by far the heftiest. And in the introduction, I explain it's not because phonics is the be-all, end-all, or the most important thing. It's because we have a very rich and complex language. So there's a lot to say. So, you know, there's a lot of charts in there that I think will be helpful for teachers, like a chart that shows all the graphemes in order from most to least common. Things like, you know, charts that walk you through, like there's a phonics lesson template, but there's just, I don't know, I love reading and spelling. And so learning more about that and was fun for me. I would say the hardest chapter for me was the last one, the MTSS chapter, because this was something I learned about in some postgraduate work at Mount St. Joseph, but it wasn't something that was part of my understanding about teaching. I would say like 3 years ago or so, I went to a presentation and the teacher was saying how she had basically, she was a principal at a school with a lot of challenges. So like it was a crazy high number, but I think over 50% of their students were actually in foster care. So we're talking, you know, not a great setup. I mean, it was going to be hard no matter what, but they turned their numbers around so that by the end, almost 100% of kids are reaching benchmark. she just kept talking, and I really enjoyed listening to her, but she just kept using this word system, system, system. And when I was listening, I was thinking, what program did you use? What program? Isn't that what we really want to know? And now I understand it's not about the program. I mean, that is important, very important, but it's not all about the program. It's about so many other things. And so after that, I did learn about systems. And so I wrote that chapter and I thought, oh, I hope I've got it right. And I went, my team is a team of five teachers that work with me. They're not teaching in the classroom now, but they have all been teachers. And in addition to having other people read the chapters, I had my whole team go through the whole book, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And that chapter was a hard one to wrestle out because they kept saying, I don't understand this part. I don't understand this part. And I had to keep reworking it so someone who was new to this would understand it. I gave it to Stephanie Stoller, who wrote the foreword for the book. She had agreed to review that chapter before I'd asked her to write the foreword. And I thought, oh, I hope I got this right, because she'll tell you like it is.
Yeah.
So I was really nervous about hearing back from her. And she actually went back and said, I'm usually very picky, but this is perfect. Like, you've nailed it. And that was amazing and really, really thankful for that. So I think the process of working with a lot of different people to write the book was challenging and something I didn't always want to do. It's easier just to keep to yourself and hope you got it right than put it out there. But let's just say it's well vetted. The book is not just my ideas and no eyes on it. I've had lots of feedback and that's been really helpful.
I said this at the beginning, but you're so, I just feel like, intentional and thorough. And so I know that this book, like you said, is going to be very helpful for teachers because it has had multiple eyes on it. And you have gone through the process probably in a much more detailed way than many other writers of books out there. I am so excited to share this book with my audience. I know I'm going to ask you to share a link where teachers can find this, but one of the things that I just appreciate about you, and I would encourage all of my listeners to go listen to your podcast, go follow you on Instagram and order your book, because you're so gracious and understanding, I think, about where teachers are at in their own journey and constantly encouraging them to grow. And I love just hearing you talk about your own experience, because I think so many teachers can resonate to, you know, having that sort of strong connection to balanced literacy and then having to like rethink it. And the fact that you are just so open with your own journey, I know is a huge encouragement to other teachers. So thank you for coming on and being willing to talk about your journey. And especially thank you for talking about your book. Like I said, I am so excited to read it. So if my audience wants to be able to get a copy of this book, where can they find it?
So people can order the book through the link that you've listed here in your show notes. So that it should be right there. You can click there. And once you order it through Amazon or your favorite seller, go back to that page and enter your order information number. So once you enter your order confirmation number, then you'll get instant access to my Science of Reading mini course, which has three modules. The first module is basically background in the science of reading. What's it all about? The second module is a list of answers to frequently asked questions. You know, things like, is there the best scope and sequence? Spoiler alert, there is not a perfect scope and sequence. Things like what, you know, how long should my students be reading decodable books? Things like that. And then the final module is basically get started. Here are five things you can do to get started. And it does include free printable resources to get you going. So I would definitely pre-order. The book is coming out July 23rd. So if you pre-order anytime before that, but the sooner the better you can get started, I'd be honored if you'd consider it. And thanks so much for hearing my story.
Oh, absolutely. Anna, thank you for coming on again today. And like I said, we are going to encourage our listeners to get your book, because I know that it is going to be just filled with so much encouragement and knowledge and resources to really help them, you know, bring structured literacy into their classroom. So, Anna, thank you so much for being on today. I really feel so honored that you're willing to come on and, you know, share your story with my audience. And hopefully we can connect again sometime soon.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Stellar Teacher Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode and are finding value in this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you would follow along and leave a 5-star positive review. This helps me spread the word to more and more teachers just like you. And don't forget to join me over on Instagram at The Stellar Teacher Company. You can always find the links and resources from this episode in the show notes at stellarteacher.com. I'll see you back here next week.